Well, hello there, and welcome to another exciting Blind Like Me. I'm Phil Parr, and we have a host of folks here with us today. We're all gathered around. By the way, this is April what? What is the date? What is the
23.
Date? How much?
23rd.
And it's about 10 o'clock in the morning, our time, Central. April 23rd, 2004.
And
Show number.
37.
Will this be 37?
It will. I brought back 36 today.
Man, it is hard to believe that we've done, you know, because we started this so far after we started doing the Andy Man Show. It's just weird to think we've done 37 of these little jewels. Anyway, obviously Don Shaw is here with us.
Obviously.
Who usually isn't on this show. Don is of blind handyman fame. He's been with us ever since we... Have you ever missed Andy?
I haven't missed a show yet, in fact.
But I have, haven't I? I missed one.
One, I think.
I missed one, and you've never missed one.
Not yet.
Perfect attendance record.
But there's always a first time.
You can, of course, you can see the little gold star that he has above his desk there. Little nothing inkwell, and little gold stars that he gets for... Never miss
the key word there is nothing.
The key word there is nothing. So far,
that's it.
So far, it's been a labor of love, hasn't it? Huh? Just anyway, it's
definitely been that.
It's been a lot of fun, and so also with us we're having what we kind of call, I don't know how we got into this title, but we call this Blind Weekend. For us, all weekends are blind. This one is just a little blinder than
most.
Some of the others. So we have lounging on the couch in his in a comfortable position. We'll say hi to Big John Bennett. Sir,
yes, how are you? What's going on?
It is
everybody this morning.
It is good to have you with us. You haven't been here, I guess, since October.
October, I think, was the last time I was around.
And we try to do this four times a year and gather up and do a little light imbibing and eat a little bit and just, I don't know what we do, but we've done 21 of them. Is that right?
John Conley, statistician.
Statistician John 21. Conley. John Conley's with us. Hi, John. How are you, sir?
How's it going?
So we have both Dallas Johns, and we have Don Shaw and myself, Phil Parr. And on the telephone, long distance, we have in Dallas, Texas, John Conley's wife, Pam. Pam, how are you?
Hi.
Right.
Are you awake?
Yeah, I'm awake.
So you can hear all this noise that we're making.
Yes,
down,
I can hear it.
Down in Lufkin. We've gotten these three together, Don Shaw and Pam and John Conley, because they went to the Texas School for the Blind at about the same time. I guess all of you all went to school together, right?
We did.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pam was there, and you and I guess you met John Conley in at the School for the Blind. Is that right?
Yeah, I did, huh?
You didn't date him then?
Not at that time, no.
Not at that time. Well, I don't...
Unfortunately.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't have either.
Really?
You just can't blame me for that.
Nobody wanted to.
But you all are in close to 50 or around 50 years old, so you started the School for the Blind, I guess, sometime in the early 50s or the mid-50s or what?
Middle 60s.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that would be right, because you all are 50. If you're 50 years old, then you were born in 54, right?
Right.
All of you were born around 54. Pam, you're not quite 50 yet, are you?
Not quite.
And I was 52. I'm the old one here of the bunch.
And you'll be 52 this summer,
yes.
Conley, is that right?
I'm 51.
Well, that's what I said. You'll be 52 this summer.
No.
You just turned. I will be 52 this summer.
Well,
you
just turned.
I'm 51.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm a little confused, but then so are these guys. Anyway, y'all are about the same age. You all went to the blind school. Pam, what is your... You actually see pretty good, don't you?
Yeah, I have pretty good vision. Just good enough to get myself around, but not good enough to really drive a car.
I think you see about as good as Patterson, don't you think?
Mm.
Oh, I think she does. I think.
You did quite well on the boat at guiding John around and doing things on the boat. Now you've worked at Social Security for how long?
23 years.
23 years.
Wow.
And you're the receptionist at that office, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And I do other clerical stuff, too, but mostly answer the phone, yeah.
So in the daytime, other than the guy that you're married to, you're around all sighted people, aren't you?
That's correct. There's no other visually impaired or blind person in that office. At one time, we did have one, but not now.
But you're the only blind person there. You go and do everything that the sighted people do. If there's copies to be made or whatever chores there are to be done, you don't plead, "Well, I can't do that because I'm blind," because you can see well enough to handle this job, right?
That's right.
Not that a totally blind person couldn't, but you worked there 23 years, so you must be doing something right.
That's the truth.
I've never had a job. I've had lots of jobs 23 years, but there were several of them. Different times in my life. That's anyway, Shaw, I think everybody knows your level of it. You're a partial,
not a good partial. I'd just say a low partial, maybe, sight, 20 over 400 or so, just kind of something in the middle of being legally blind and totally blind. So
every time I think about your sight, you do something that amazes me, like you'll say, "Look at that." And I'll think, how in the hell did he see that? He can't see much better than I can.
Yeah,
but
you just...
will be riding down the road, and he'll see something out the car window and say, you know.
A lot of it depends on the contrast of something, light against dark, or it just don't see everything, of course, but in some ways it's kind of, I guess, in being in the middle, ground that can see certain things.
I think anyone who's a total, like John Connolly's a total, you're totally blind.
Right.
Like I am. I think I
am now.
But John used to could see. I can remember the time back in school, of course, when John could see. So.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you were always.
Oh, no.
You had some sight at one time.
I was low partial.
But you have perception of colors. You know what the color blue looks like.
Oh, yeah. I still remember blue.
See, that's a big help, because if totally blind people like me, I have no idea. Blue is nothing to me. I mean, it's just a word. A word we've only heard. I'm sorry. but colors and things like that.
Yeah, I could read. I could read money if I was real close to it.
Yeah, you could. You could see. I mean, you could see enough to.
You could read money.
You could read money
when you were younger.
Yeah.
Even up until the time when we first got married, because I remember him doing that.
He could see some.
See the bills at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Around my 29th birthday, about a day or two before my 29th birthday, I got lost it all.
Your eyes went completely away.
Yeah, glaucoma. Got the rest of it.
See, I wonder, but I have no idea, because I have no conception of this, if it would be better to have never seen. I used to think if you had to be blind, you might as well start out that way, but now I've about changed my mind.
Well, we've hashed that around many times.
We really have.
Still haven't come up with a conclusive answer to that question.
People like Dale Campbell, who saw perfectly 1 minute, and then the next minute could see nothing. I mean, zero.
Yeah.
And then you have people like you who had some sight and lost that vision, and you seem to do fine as a total. I mean, I didn't know you could ever see. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I couldn't see good. Couldn't see very far.
Yeah.
They say it was like looking through a pinhole. I couldn't tell that, but I couldn't see very far. But I could see real light and colors. And,
yeah.
I couldn't see very far.
Yeah, but you could see. I mean, that was. And I've been down both.
I still had to use a cane.
Yeah.
But I could walk faster because the sidewalk was a lighter color, and I could walk. Right, yeah. I'm used to walking fast.
Uh-huh.
You use a cane.
You always do.
Do you use a cane some, Don John?
Not now, but I was going to say, I've been kind of down both roads, because I could see some always growing up, but then I got a cataract. I started getting it probably early 20s. I guess, and over the years, a cataract just gets worse and worse. And I finally got down to where I couldn't see anything but light. So, of course, I used a cane then for, years, 8 years or so.
You walked around with a cane?
Sure. Yeah, had to.
Yeah.
And then finally when it got, only having one eye is the reason they wouldn't remove the cataract until the vision got, to a point where there wasn't anything to lose.
Yeah.
And when it got down to seeing light, there really wasn't anything to lose. So then they removed the cataract and restored vision to the level that I've got now. So really, I've been down both roads. So
now do you see better now than you did in school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. There's no question about that. Some better. I mean, not a lot, but some. Some better.
You could see in school, you could see a little better than I could.
Yeah.
But if didn't you say when you first saw the CCTV that they couldn't make print too small for you to read? Shaw, didn't you say that?
Yeah, on the closed circuit TV, sure.
Yeah, on the
because it magnifies so. I mean, it's such a good magnification.
Yeah. And we, you know, we've left out John Bennett, who sees almost as well as everybody. I mean,
yeah, that's,
in one eye, I see pretty good.
You do.
If we were out of beer and there was no one else to drive, I'd ride across the river with you.
we can take that chance.
I could.
Good have to.
You've done it before, so you could probably do it again.
I don't need beer that bad. I
well, I don't know that wrecking the car was really your fault, John. I've never really blamed you for that. John and I had an interesting experience. Us and two or three other blind people decided one night we'd drive a car. Of course, we'd been drinking wine, all Thunderbird wine all day.
Thunderbird wine, man.
Wasn't it? Is that what we were drinking? What were we drinking?
My memory's gone on that one, what we were doing.
Yeah. We decided we'd drive a car, and we wrecked the car. And of course, the policeman wouldn't take us downtown because he said, man, they'd laugh me out of the police department, bringing in five blind guys driving a car. No, I said, I wasn't about to take you down. I said, I'd be the laughing stock of the police. We saw the guy, Officer Laird. I saw him later on at some club I work at. Anyway, let's get to around. Do what, Pam? Did you start to say something?
Oh, no, I didn't say.
Okay. Let's get around to the Texas School for the Blind, where you all started sometime in the 60s. John Bennett and I left in, I guess, John in 59 or 60.
59.
I left. They asked me to leave in 58. They asked me to leave. They sent my father a letter and said, little Philip doesn't seem to be adhering to anything we're trying to teach him. We'd appreciate if you wouldn't send a little, little boy. He'd appreciate it very much if you didn't send a little blank boy back. Uh-huh. And so my daddy threw a fit, but I was already, I had already made up my mind I was going to quit, but that's another story. I didn't get along with those people. They didn't like me. I didn't like them. That doesn't make me bad or them, but it was an awful experience for me. But I understand that it got much better in later years. Who wants to start?
I think it did get better, much better. Let me just go. Mine won't take too long, so let me just go for it because I was probably the one that came later. Because I actually came there in the, John, you said middle 60s. I came actually in the late 60s, I guess.
You came in 1970.
Had they done you in public school?
That's what I was going to say. I actually started out in summer school there, but I started in public school. Went to, that's kind of back when they started mainstreaming back in the 50s. Uh-huh. And I went to a special education class in elementary, but in a public school. And, of course, the deal was on that, you know, being in a city the size of Houston or any other large city that you happen to be in. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, in my case, anyway, I had like an hour ride across town, like, to school. You know, and being in elementary school for a little kid, you know, that's a pretty tough ride. But anyway,
I think so, yeah.
I did that and went to elementary school in the special ed room. Learned Braille. Learning Braille wasn't a big deal because I guess I learned it in first grade just like when other children learned to read print. So I never really thought, you know, it was just kind of natural to me, I guess, learned Braille instead of print. So, and it just, you know, it seems like I've always known how to read Braille. So just kind of learned it, did the elementary school things. Then by the time we got through elementary, moved up to middle school. You know, I'm not sure, you know, being a child, you're not really sure how these things come to be sometimes, but whoever had talked to my parents, which, by the way, we've talked on the show before about either parents kind of holding you back or just letting you do pretty much anything you wanted to do.
Yeah.
My parents, luckily, were the last type that,
you know, they let you do pretty much what you wanted.
Just pretty much anything and everything that I wanted to do, and I'm thankful for that today because I know it's helped
and,
me a lot.
And your father was I gather from what we've talked about, was somewhat mechanically inclined in that he showed you how to work on things.
That's true. Yeah, that's a fact, and that's been a big help through the whole life.
Sure, it has. That's you know, you wouldn't be a blind Andy.
Yeah. Wouldn't be a blind Andy.
Think about that. Anyway, so you started in public school learning Braille, and
so however it came about, when I got to the junior high, middle school stage, someone decided that I ought to go to the middle school that was like, oh God, half a mile from the house.
Yeah.
and just be with the regular sighted children. And I, at that time, you know, we had no technology compared to what children have now growing up.
Yeah.
I had a typewriter and a braille writer, and that's, someone had made me a cart on wheels. Really, it was a cabinet on wheels. Probably stood up, I don't know, 3 foot high.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a handle on it where I could kind of take it with me from class to class.
Or you could wheel your equipment around.
Took my equipment with me.
See, that's fantastic.
It was sturdy. I saw it.
Well, yeah. You did. You saw that cabinet, didn't you?
I tell you what we'll do. Let's take we've got
Break
Don. Got Don Shaw in middle school. We hadn't gotten him to the blind school yet, but we'll do that in just a few minutes and back with more. And also talk with Pam Connelly, John Connelly, and be back more in just a minute on Blind Like Me.
Information you probably never need. Titillating tidbits to make you think on the blind side. Here's Mark Christie.
Gary Wunder was born the oldest of four children. His family lived in Kansas City, Missouri, and he remembers that since he was blind from birth, he had managed to persuade everyone in his family except his father to do precisely what he wanted. Gary Wunder attended grades 1 through 5 at the Kansas City Public Schools. When he was 10, a boy who attended the Missouri School for the Blind persuaded him that he was missing real life by staying at home. At the school, his friend told him that kids rode trains and buses, they could bowl and swim, and they didn't have to listen to parents. As a result, Wunder did some persuading at home and was on hand for sixth grade and some necessary but painful lessons about the real world. At the close of seventh grade, Wunder returned to public schools, having learned several vitally important lessons. He knew the basics of using a white cane, and he recognized that his father's demand on him had sprung from strong love and eagerness for his son to succeed, and he understood that people beyond his own family had worth and deserved their respect. Wunder decided to major in political science and philosophy because he felt compelled to avoid the science and math that he loved but feared to take. During his sophomore year, he met a professor from the Central Missouri State University who suggested that he was ducking the challenge. Together, they explored the question of whether or not a blind person could follow schematics and read voltmeters. So, Wunder transferred to Missouri State, where he graduated in 1977 with a degree in electronics technology. Wunder looked for interim jobs after graduation while he tried to decide what to do. He enrolled in a 10-month course in computer programming offered by the Extension Division of the University of Missouri. No blind person had ever entered the program before, but Gary completed it successfully and was hired immediately in the fall of 78 by the Pathology Department of the University of Missouri Hospital and Clinics in Columbia. Years in promotions later, Wunder is successfully working at a hospital and is now a senior program analyst in the Information Services Department. On the Blind Side, I'm Mark Christie.
On the Blind Side, celebrating the contribution of blind people to societal evolution.
I'm not sure about this funeral music we've drifted into here.
Really?
Sounds kind of like a dirge. Most of us are still alive. And
Sort of.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Sounds like this
really
is a good music station. You know, they used to have those. Anyway, back welcome to Blind Like Me. I'm Phil Parr. Along with us is John Bennett, John Connelly, Don Shaw, and long distance on the telephone, Pam Connelly is with us. And, Don, you were finishing up your, we got you in middle school. You still haven't gone to the blind school.
Well, wrapping up middle school here. Anyway, I took my technology to the classes with me. We did this, I did this for a year. And, you know, with the new ADA rules now, you know, the schools and institutions have got to furnish what we need.
Yeah.
The equipment
now
that
they
we
do.
Need. But back then they didn't.
No.
They just, and I'm not sure really exactly how I got the books or really where they came from, but however I got the books and things, it just didn't work out for whatever reason. So I did that for a year. Then I had to go back because I just couldn't get the books to the regular middle school with the special education classes back across, you know, back to riding the bus across town again.
Yeah.
So I did that, and for another year or so, probably up to the end of middle school, ninth grade or so. And at that point, someone had told me about the school for the blind in Austin, Texas.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, I said, man, you know, I'm tired of this bus ride. You know, I had friends in the neighborhood, of course, that I hung out with. I had some friends at school. But, you know, I said, you know, I guess I'm ready for a change. And it was a free choice, me and another a friend of mine that also went to middle school, special education. His parents took both of us to the school to look, just to look over the school one day.
Yeah, okay.
We were kind of thinking about going up there. And anyway, me and this other guy both went to a summer session in summer school. And that was kind of a deal just that students could come to just to learn different things and just kind of more of a little work, but more of a fun type situation and just, you know, doing different things. Anyway, did different activities and, learned this and that. That's a that's a whole nother show. But anyway, I said, man, you know, this isn't so bad for the first time, you know, get up and be with some other students that are in the same boat I am. You know, part of the problem was at home in the neighborhood was that students, of course, being that age, are getting where they're just fixing to get their driver's license, and some of them wanting to drive, and, you know, of course, not being able to do that.
Yeah.
Then I get to the school in Austin and discover there's other kids in the same boat that are walking just like I am, and say, it wouldn't be so bad. I think I want to do that. Anyway, I applied to go to school there during the school year and started in the year of 70, the fall of 1970. So
you landed at the School for the Blind.
Kind of how I got there.
Austin, Texas, long after John Bennett and I left. Pam, how did you get to the School for the Blind in Austin?
Well, I started there in the fall of 1965. I went to public school in there in my small little town until then, and because I'm so nearsighted, it was just kind of hard for me to get, you know, to see things. Like, I had to sit on the first row of the, you know, with my desk on the first row in order to be able to see the blackboard. And and being such a small town, they just were not equipped to really handle a blind child or a visually impaired person at that time. Nowadays,
yeah,
they would be, you know, but...
Oh, sure, the government would make them nowadays, but back then...
That's probably what nowadays most people do, but back then, it's such a small town, and so I went to the fourth grade, and then in 1965, I went to the School for the Blind there.
They sent you away to the School for the Blind?
Yes, sir.
Away from your parents. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Well, yes, I did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so there you were. You were at the blind school in 65, and you were in the fourth grade. So you were about 9 years old, 10 years old?
Actually, I was 11.
Actually, you were 11. Now, did they give you any introduction? I mean, did you have any idea what was going on when they took you there?
Well, as far as just, it's my aunt, because she's the one that knew about that school, because she was a special ed teacher, so she had toured it at one time. At
okay.
My folks found out about it, but they kind of prepared me as far as being away from home and all that, you know. So
yeah, but you had not been there until you hadn't seen the school. Like Don got a chance to go.
No, I did not go tour it. No.
Don got a chance to go look and see what it was like, and then he decided to go. But they one day you in September of 65, there you were at the School for the Blind with 100 other blind girls.
Right.
People you'd never met. Scared to death, right?
Yeah, I was pretty scared.
I bet.
I would imagine.
I bet you.
It was so different from what, you know, I was used to.
Sure it was. Totally different from what you were.
Everybody was excited in the world that I had come from, you know.
Yeah.
So
uh-huh.
It was different. I mean, it didn't really take me too long, but it was different. But I didn't take long to make friends, so that did, you know, that was good. I actually adjusted pretty well. I found that it was probably for the best, because there were things that, you know, to my benefit, being from
the
blind, you know.
Well, and the one good thing about the school for the blind, whether it's Texas or wherever it is, you make friends and you learn from other blind, you see other blind people, whereas
see,
you wouldn't.
That's the thing that is a benefit. Like I said, I hadn't really been around any blind people until then, so
yeah.
That was one of the good things about going there, was you realize that you're not the only one, that there's other people.
I agree. That's what I found, too.
Yeah, that there are other people in the same boat that are not going to be able to drive, and who are not going to be able to do a lot of things that sighted kids can do, and who are going to live their life, it will maybe have the same quality life, but who are going to live it differently because they can't see. And that's one thing you learn. That's one of the reasons we do this little show, is to show people that you can succeed, or you can have a semi-normal, if we knew what normal was, life as a blind person. It is not the end of the world if you lose your eyesight.
Are you awake?
John Connor.
Hello.
Connor.
Yeah, I thought he dozed off there.
Definitely.
Go ahead, Benny.
No, I had nothing to say. I was just responding to you.
Oh, I thought you were. I knew you weren't awake. I was looking calmly there. I thought maybe he'd drifted.
That's what happens when you get two Johns in the same room.
That's what happens. We've had two Johns. We've always got two Johns, and we've got usually two Dons. Don Patterson is here. We've got two Dons. One time we had two Dons, two Johns, and two Toms, and Phil.
We did.
It was really strange. All right, John Wood, how did you end up at school? They sent you there to first grade, didn't they?
No, I started out in 59 in public school.
Really?
Like Don Shaw in a Braille class.
Yeah.
Dallas had two elementary schools that had Braille classes in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I went to one of them. My first grade, learned Braille.
Uh-huh.
The second year in second grade, I went there for about 2 months, and then transferred to Austin.
Do you know why? I mean, what was the deal? Why did they decide to transfer to Austin?
I don't know, but I know I didn't like school. I know that.
You didn't like public school?
Public school.
I didn't like school, period.
You didn't like any school?
I didn't like
none.
You reckon that's why we get along so good? Both of us hated school. I couldn't stand it. I just couldn't.
I went to the blind school in second grade, Didn't fail the second grade, so I came back to public school. I went to the other elementary school this time for 2 years.
Had to try them all, didn't you?
We tried them all. And then I transferred, mixed up on years because it's a lot of years.
Yeah.
Eventually I went back to the first elementary school again.
That you'd originally gone to.
I'd originally gone to in the first grade.
Man.
I went there for 2.5 years. Then I made a radical change. Went up to New Jersey.
That is a radical change.
I didn't know about that. How would one end up in New Jersey from?
Well, there was a guy, he wrote a book. His name is Robert Russell. Wrote a book called To Catch an Angel.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what this guy did for a living. I read the book, but it's been so many years ago. But he went to the New York Institute, New York Institute for the Blind, and they wanted to get me in there. My parents thought that was a good place, I guess.
That would be a good place for Blind John to go, with the New York Institute for the Blind.
Yeah, and they were full. They were full. They couldn't take me. So... they did the next best thing. I went to a school in New Jersey. It's still there in Jersey City, New Jersey. And I went there for half a year because I had transferred there in January of that year, mm-hmm. of 66, January of 66. Finished out that year at that school, and then...
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Before you get away from that, let me interrupt you just for a second here. But while I know he's probably listening, but... when you were in New Jersey, and I never got back with you on that, but is that where you think you might know list member John Justice from?
I know it is.
That'd be interesting to see if
I
he remembers you.
No, we wasn't there at the same time.
Oh.
But we did go to the same school, so I do want to get in touch with him.
I'll be darned. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
John, so you knew, you didn't know John Justice, but you knew who he was.
Well, no, I had no idea who he was because he went there probably 10 years before I did.
Before your time.
Okay.
But we did go to the same school.
So y'all need to get together and talk, and if you get your email straightened out, that'd be real easy to do. But that's another story.
We won't another story for
Pam,
another day.
Pam, would you get rid of all those messages in his email so he can start receiving email?
I could try. He insists that he wants to listen to all that stuff.
Just
I don't know.
Just go. Just take all of them and hit. Just do Control A, which will select them all, and then hit the delete,
big
key,
delete,
and they'll be gone. And if he wants to read them, he can go to
the deleted items bin and
go
read them there.
The deleted items folder and read them there if he insists.
Well, that's
on
true. Yeah.
Yeah, get rid of them so you can.
I would.
Anyway, so they sent you to New Jersey, and actually they were looking for something that interested you because you were not doing well in school, right?
Right. Oh yeah.
So they were trying to figure out what could we do with this boy to get him interested in school and help him.
So in the fall of '66, because in the fall of '66 they did send me across the street to a Catholic school.
Oh.
I went to school with sighted kids for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. What a deal!
Yeah, I'm not a Catholic, but I went to school.
Okay, but then you had some sight also.
Yeah, but I was reading Braille. I was a Braille user. So, and I enjoyed it up there. I learned mobility when I was 13 years old, which was much earlier than everybody else, you know, other places.
I guess that's true.
And, I lived in one school, and I went to school in the other. I was just living up there. That was just some place to live at that school.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you get back and forth between the two?
It was just across the street.
Oh, okay.
I just walked across the street.
Well, that's neat.
It was real close.
Yeah?
And the only reason why I had to leave that school, in 68, the blind school, they changed to a state school, so I had to.
Okay.
I was from Texas, so I had to leave.
Couldn't go to that state school anymore.
Right.
Yeah. What a deal.
All right. And
So then, after that, they... then I went to Austin in 68, fall of 68. There wasn't any place else to go.
That was the end of the line for you, big boy.
That was the end of the line.
So they sent you to the Texas School for the Blind. Then,
yeah, of course, I'd already been there in 60, 61 year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
1960, I'd been there.
And you didn't do too well there.
Things
didn't work out too well.
So... Still didn't, when I came back, still didn't do all that great. And I was thinking about quitting school in 1971, and the reason why I didn't, they taught me into staying in school, going to school half a day and working half a day, you know. Going to school from 7:30 in the morning to 11:30 and then working from 1 to 5 in the afternoon.
And that made you happy enough that you agreed not to.
I said, "Oh yeah, I'll stay."
So, how old were you in '71 when you were thinking about quitting school?
I was 18,
and so it was time to quit. Then
it was time to quit anyway.
And you could quit at that point when you were 18, couldn't you?
Yeah.
It was a free choice to be.
Well, my parents gave me the choice. They said they said they were going to give me the choice.
Give you the choice to be.
But
able
they talked you into going back, and finally you finally finished at the school for the blind in Austin.
Yeah, sure did.
Okay. Well, let's see. So you all three went to the. How do you watch y'all?
No, I was just going to say. I did the same. You know, was I also went to school half a day and worked the other half, and you know that was really a good deal for us at the time because, man, you know, working of course the half a day and it was sort of a rule in the vocational program, work program, that, you know, you'd save half, which was kind of a bummer. I mean, I'm glad, I guess, one got out that I did. But at the time, you know, well, we raised hell about that. Not that it did any good.
Yeah.
But by the time you saved your half, and even having half of the money left that you made, I mean, God, we, you know, just went out and did all kinds. You know, I always had extra money, went and spent money, did all kinds of things. And it was great.
And we ate good.
See,
yeah, ate good.
That would have been when John Bennett and I were at School for the Blind.
Would have been
and Don Patterson. That would have been absolutely unheard of.
Oh, it was great. It was.
I mean, nothing like that existed. You were when we went. You were there, and that's it. You were just there. You had no way of going anywhere. We had town day once every 2 weeks, and you guys worked.
Oh,
you actually left the campus.
We went to eat just off campus just about every night.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it just, you know, we had, we
would dump the girls and go eat.
What a deal, man.
Dump the girls and go eat.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like you'd had better sense than that.
We'd go out.
Well, what I was going with, you wouldn't agree.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just don't get into that.
You would agree.
The thing is, though, we'd actually go off twice because, you know, we could go off with the girls, come back at 8 o'clock or so.
Yeah. See, we could leave. What it is, we ate at 5:30, and at 6 o'clock we could go see the girls from 6 to 8, and then and we could go off campus with them as long as we could leave at 6 with them and. Come back at 8.
Come back and check back in at 8.
So you wait a minute. You could have taken these girls with you to eat if you wanted to.
From 6 to 8, and we did.
We did
a lot of times.
You could have gone to Beck's Drugstore. Was
sure.
it still there?
Sure.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's still there.
Yeah.
And you could have taken your girlfriend that you thought you were in love with with you. John Bennett.
Boy. I tell you, I would have given money for that.
That's unheard of. I mean, that's
a new world.
We'd go and eat. You know, go to 2J's, go to wherever and eat, and then we'd come back, check back in, take them back to the dorm, check back in, then check back out again, and go back. Go and eat some more food.
We'd check back out about 8:30 and come back. As long as we were back by 9:30,
everything was cool.
I can't even fathom that.
That is so wild compared to what John and I went through, which was they discouraged you having any sort of normal life. It was like, you're blind, you're always going to be this way, you could tune a few pianos or cane a few chairs or make some baskets, but that's all you're going to be able to do.
It was a small step above Huntsville.
Yeah. I mean,
which is a state pen,
which is the Texas state prison. I mean, it was horrible. They acted like you're blind and you're not going to succeed. Don't bother trying. You can have no normal life. We had Girls Town Day one Saturday and Boys Town Day the next Saturday. That's how bad it was.
That'd be bad now.
The girls had one Town Day. We had another Town Day. Now, there were certain ones of us who went with, well, we won't get into that. But anyway, there was...
yeah, that wouldn't be good.
John Bennett had an Austin girlfriend, so he was a little...
someone locally, which was a little better, but...
He was a little more fortunate than the rest of us.
But I did have to break every rule in the book, too.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
I would see... I was going with a girl named Mary Francis at that time. I would see her Friday afternoon. If I was lucky, I would get to talk to her 30 seconds Friday afternoon... When school let out and we all went to PE, then I would not see her again until the following Monday morning. Every other weekend, that's the way it was.
Wow.
And that's hard on a horny young 14, 15-year-old. I mean, it was terrible. I'm not advocating premarital sex or anything. I'm just saying I sure would like to have spent some time with Mary Frances over the weekend just sitting, drinking a Coke and talking to her.
Oh, but sure.
It would have been nice to just live a normal life.
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah, if y'all could have.
It was almost like you're blind, it's your fault, and you're going to be punished for it.
We're going to get you because you're blind. Yeah.
Man, what a change, though, in just a matter of a few years.
Speaking of changes, the magic time was 1965, I believe. I wasn't there, but I think that was the time to change.
All right, let's
Pam was there, but after a break.
Okay, hold that. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll talk about other changes at the Texas School for the Blind. I think probably doing a series on blind schools is probably a good idea, and we might get into that
later. I think so.
Back with more Blind Like Me in just a minute.
A website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now with this week's Blind Sight, here's Don Shaw.
Largeprint.net is your large print resource on the internet. Largeprint.net, a internet resource site that I just recently found out about, seems to be a great resource for large print material. Everything from large print magazines that you can order to all different kinds of materials in the large print format. Some of it's available on the internet and some of it you order. But whatever you end up doing, large print material can be really useful if you have low vision. And besides all that, this site even is screen reader friendly. I would give it a reader friendliness rating of a 8. If you have low vision and need a really good large print resource, go and check out www.large-print.net. Lots of links over there and lots of things to offer, lots of resources. Until next time, I'm Don Shaw. Keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sight.
Welcome back to our little show called Blind Like Me. We're talking about blind schools. We have Pam Conley with us, Pam and John Conley, husband and wife from Dallas. Pam is in Dallas, and John is in studio. Don Shaw is here with us. John Bennett is here, and I'm Phil Parr. And we're just talking about blind schools and the immense, amazing changes made at schools for the blind over the years. Now, Conley, you were telling us that you think the major change came when?
I heard it was in 1965.
Yeah, I think it was, because that's when I came, and I was hearing all these people talking about this superintendent that used to be there named Allen, how bad it was and all that. And so apparently I just got in under the wire there.
Really? But Mr. Allen was gone by the time you got to...
Yes, he was.
Well, if I've never told you this before, let me mention, Pam, that you're a lucky person.
Other people have told me that.
He was, and I never understood, and it's not good to talk about the dead. I'm sure they'll talk about me when I'm gone. Mr. Allen was as blind as I am. He was totally blind. He was a very well-educated fellow, as far as I could tell. He was very filled up with the fact that if he had an idea, it was a good idea. And all of us learn at some point in our lives that, you know, if one out of ten of your ideas was good, you'd be a lucky man. He thought every idea he had was a good idea, and that's the way things ought to be done. And the blind school was very restrictive. It was very unchallenging. There folks who went through the same experience at the blind school I did and liked it and did fine. For me, it was just very restrictive. I couldn't handle the scrutiny of 24-hour scrutiny. I mean, sometimes in the early years, I had Ms. Malmberg was my fourth grade teacher. She was also my supervisor in College K or College F or whichever college. So no matter what I did, I had that old bitch with me 24 hours a day. No matter if I'd screwed up in school that afternoon, then I had her with me that night, and it vice versa. And it was terrible. It was, you know, it was just the worst of both worlds, and it took me a long time to get over it and get past it.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
And I think Mr. Bennett would agree with me.
I would concur wholeheartedly. As a matter of fact, saying Bill Allen over the internet lets me know that you can use profanity.
He was not a nice fellow. He was an educated man, but he was not.
The only thing I never will understand, were very restrictive. The school was, during the years I was there, was terribly restrictive except they'd let you smoke cigarettes at 16 years old without permission.
Now they would do that when you turn
no parental permission.
Well, now wasn't you saying they even had cigarette machines
in the dormitory?
In the dorm.
See, we didn't have that when we were there.
Didn't.
So sure didn't.
You didn't have cigarette machines in the dorm?
No.
In fact, it only got to one point to where they finally had a little area that you could smoke.
That's right. Yeah, we were real restrictive at the end for smoking area.
Well, of course, back then, they didn't, I don't know, you know, they didn't really realize the hazards of cigarettes back then. They didn't realize how, that they'd just kill you, you know. There wasn't any, well, we can all say this, because we're having our first absolute smokeless blind weekend. None of us smoke anymore, and we all used to be
big smokers.
Lots of us.
Except for John Conley.
Not all.
Except for John Conley. He never smoked. But you kids could... Your day, give us a day. You get your day to wake you up at what time in the morning? Six?
We would wake up, I think, I want to say, was it 6:30?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we woke up at 6:30 and ate breakfast at 7, I believe. I think that was it.
Yep.
What if you decided not to eat breakfast there? Could you go somewhere and eat breakfast?
No.
No.
You couldn't do that.
You had to come down to breakfast whether you ate or not.
You had to come down to breakfast whether you ate or not. You had to come down.
You had to sit there
make
for 10 minutes.
An appearance
you
for
did.
10 minutes.
10 minutes. You had to do that.
Okay, so that we've got that started. Then you went back upstairs and made your bed and go ahead.
Yeah, we had to do that.
You made your bed and.
Just finished getting ready to go to class.
I don't remember when did school start? 8 or 8:30? I don't remember.
8 o'clock.
Eight. No. Let's see. I guess it had to be about 8:30. Was it?
I'm not sure, John. I'm thinking 8, but that seems like a long time.
It's too long ago to remember that.
Yeah.
But I think it was 8 o'clock.
I do too.
8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, when I was there, when John and I were there, it was 8:15.
Exactly.
It was 8:15. That first bell, I think, rang at. At 8:15,
and then lunch. Lunch was what? Noon was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Now let's get into some things here. 8 o'clock class. That class started. Was there anybody work in the morning? Did anybody have their?
No. Nobody. Nobody worked in the mornings. Only the afternoon.
You only worked. You could. All these jobs that you had were in the afternoon. Right?
Part-time afternoon jobs.
Right.
Mornings were.
I guess the only ones. We had what they call a canteen, which was a small vending stand.
That was on campus.
Yeah. Now those folks, they worked. I guess some of them might have worked in the morning.
Some of them did work in the morning.
Just for fun, let's see. Just for kicks, let me see if this sounds familiar. Let's see.
Oh, yes, it does.
Was that it?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the bell?
You got up with that.
No.
You went to breakfast with that.
You went to
school with that.
That's the blind school bell.
You went to bed with that. You went to dinner with that.
You did everything with that. Okay, yep. But the morning came, and you had your academic time, math, science, whatever you happen to have in the morning, and you did that. It's noontime now, and you've gone to noon. Could you go somewhere else and eat at noon?
No, you had to go eat at lunch. Now, my last year, I did skip lunch for about 9 months.
Did you?
Yeah.
So you never made an appearance?
I didn't make an appearance until I got caught.
Okay.
It took them long enough to catch you there.
Really?
They wanted you there at lunch. That
right.
was part of their deal.
They did,
would
yeah.
You be there at lunch.
Yep.
Now, one thing about the school days, we had A and B days.
Uh-huh. What are those?
One day, an A day, you might have physical education at 9 o'clock or whatever. The next day would be a B day, you might have science at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
The next day would be an A day, you would have.
Okay, but this was in the morning and
alternating class,
and they wanted you there physically there for lunch.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Now it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Lunch is over. What happens then?
You just go back for your rest of your classes till 3:30.
Well, I thought you went to work.
Or if you work,
well,
you went to work.
The ones that work.
Either way.
Ones that work,
some did both.
Because not everybody worked.
That's right.
Well,
okay.
That was mostly for, like, maybe junior or seniors.
Juniors and seniors. Okay, well, but we'll just call you all juniors and seniors. So in the other grades, in the eighth grade, you were there all day long.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, but as a junior or a senior, you at 1 o'clock, you went to your job. How'd you get to your job in the afternoon?
Different ways. The jobs usually started at 1 o'clock, so what would happen?
Yeah.
We'll use our working people.
Okay.
Our working people, like I say, our working people would start their class at 7:30. It was a DE, which stood for Distributive Education.
DE, yeah. You start your class at 7:30 in the morning?
Right.
Okay.
And that class, you learn how to conduct interviews, how to be interviewed. You learn money management.
Things that really help you in life.
Different job skills. And that lasted till 8:30. And then you had...
regular classes until noon.
Well, till 11:30.
Or 11:30 or so, okay. Yeah.
But then they wanted you there for lunch. If you're going
to had to sign in for lunch.
If you were going to go to work, why couldn't you sign in for lunch and then go to Whataburger and have a cheeseburger?
Well, that's what I did.
But it wasn't because they allowed you.
But you were fixing to leave anyway, so what was the big deal?
Right. So what would happen? You would eat at 11:30, and you figure you'd be finished at 12, and then you would... some of us took the bus. We'd take the bus to work. I did. Now, the ones that worked at the Austin Lighthouse, which is a sheltered workshop,
which is completely across town from the school for the blind.
Oh yeah. Now the school usually provided transportation for them.
Okay.
To go there. You would leave at 12 noon to take the bus to be at work by 1:00.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd usually work till 5. And we had people working, these were one-man jobs at these different places. We had Reese Lumber Company. We had somebody there. I worked at the Austin American Statesman.
In a department store. You worked at a department store, didn't you?
I worked at Shopper's World. And we had, what do we have? We had somebody work at, what was it, Burger Chef, was it?
Yeah, somebody worked at State Capital making copies of things.
That's amazing.
Sorted jobs.
And we had, we had somebody working at a steakhouse. It was Bonanza, was it?
Bonanza. Used to be little Bonanza steak, thin steaks. But these were real jobs.
Right.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Paid you real money.
Little part-time jobs.
Your real paycheck, just like a sighted kid would do, just like Callie. Our niece Callie's working at Best Buy.
Sure, yeah, deal.
She goes at 4:00, I think, in the afternoon, works to 9 at Best Buy every day, or lots of days.
Yep.
Same deal.
So,
what a wonderful way to equip a blind person to have a normal.
It was great. It was good. Yeah,
that's unthinkable, John.
I sit around and hear all these stories about the way this.
I think they're lying.
You'd almost think so.
Where are they? We're bring out the lie detectors.
Yeah, I think they're lying.
Yeah, bring them on.
It couldn't have been like this. This ain't the same blind school I went to.
I think they deserve to go back and have a dose of our situation.
Now. It's even better now because I don't even think they have to stay on campus on the weekends now.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a deal, wouldn't it?
What, do they go to motels or something?
No, I think they go home. I think they have drivers that take them home.
Well, of course, the last year I was there, I did pretty much as I pleased because I knew I wasn't coming back, and I was playing in a dance band, and I did have a little extra money, and I was playing in a dance band, and I went home when I wanted to and went where I wanted to. If I wanted to go to San Antonio with Gene, I didn't get parental permission. I just went because I knew I wasn't going back. And Ellie was 17 years old, you know. I was...
You kind of knew kind of what we had got a taste.
I did was illegal. If they caught me doing this, if they knew I was doing it, they just didn't want to.
Yeah, they
me.
Probably just didn't want to mess.
They
with
didn't
you.
Want to mess with me because they knew I wasn't coming back. They knew they weren't going to let me come back.
Yeah.
And so, I pretty well. But this sounds so normal and so nice. What I wonder what precipitated. How could they have gone from where we were in 59 when I left, 58 when I left, to where you all were in 1970. I don't know how they could have done that.
I think when Bill Allen left, that was it.
I think that's it.
Pam had it on the nose, I believe.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it changed a whole lot.
When Bill Allen left, the whole everything changed, right?
And we had the black people. We had them with us then.
Which we didn't have. I don't know where black people went to blind school.
They had a separate campus in Austin.
There was a black blind school in Austin.
BDNO, blind, deaf, and blind, deaf, and orphan.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't have any deaf students with us, but everything was integrated by then.
Yes, it should be.
Well, yeah, we did in 72, 73, they started that.
Yeah, I guess I just never ran across. But, yeah, they did, actually, didn't they? And we had one wheelchair student. Remember, John, the girl that we helped, that we carried to?
I've talked to her at lunch.
It sounds like some blind school that I never went to. I don't know anything about it.
We're a little bit early. We're at 55.
I know that. I started the theme then. The theme is about 320.
Okay.
It's about that long to get through with it.
But, man, it sounds like the school went through some changes. Sounds like we had a country club, man, compared to what y'all did.
Compared to what we had.
And then we've been back to the alumni. They used to have alumni, and now they have cable, you know, cable TV. And of course, we didn't even talk about the building changes. We didn't even get around to that.
Well, and the cottages are air-conditioned now, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was 67 or 68.
When we were there, it was air-conditioned.
I'd have done without the air-conditioning and a little more freedom.
Absolutely.
The snack bar on campus, though, was nice. I mean,
what
you could just
bar?
Go
we
and get...
We never had a snack bar.
You know, things to drink and eat. And
we had a Coke machine. All right, Philip, you've already had two Cokes today.
Well, we didn't have a Coke machine in the dorm. They had Coke machines at our place.
We had a Coke machine in the dorm, son.
See, we didn't have that.
It's downstairs. Cigarette machine, Coke machine, candy machine.
If we wanted something in the dorm, we had to go steal it from the kitchen.
That was a major breakthrough.
Yeah.
Well, no, we did raid the kitchen. Okay.
They were threatening to call the Texas Rangers.
But I don't know. They must have got it.
And it wasn't the baseball team.
They must have got a hell of a buy on pinto beans by every year on there, because they sure served a lot of them.
I took a whole thing of ice cream up to my room.
Pinto beans aren't bad, but they, you know.
The food was pretty rough, I think.
Food was pretty bad.
When y'all were there and when we were there.
Oh,
but
two J's got a lot of my business.
But if you could eat off campus, who cared? I mean, I can remember going, I just didn't eat all week, and Friday nights before we went to play, I'd have them stop by, and I'd get three or four hamburgers and eat them on the way to the job.
Sound like Joe Conley.
Well,
I had three or four hamburgers every night.
Yeah, all right. We thank you all, Pam. Thank you, ma'am, and we'll let you go back to sleep or doing whatever you're doing.
Okay.
And we appreciate you talking with us, and we've got your husband down here, and we'll take good care of him, all right?
Great, that's good.
Thank Pam. John Bennett, John Conley, and Don Shaw have also been with us, and we've been talking about blind schools, and we'll let you all go. We'll continue this discussion around the table in the house. How about that?
That sounds like a deal, doesn't it?
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll see you next week. If you'd like to be a guest on Blind Like Me, email me, blindlikeme@txucom.net. I'm Phil Parr. Thank you all for being with us. We'll see you next week.